I walked past that studio. I didn't realize just how empty it had become as they packed up the truck.
I don't actually have any perception of what that studio normally looks like yet.
Well, there's no couch in it anymore.
Okay.
So there are no places to sit.
That's, okay, well, that's definitely different.
Yeah, that is highly noticeable.
Not on West Coast time yet.
Mm.
Start getting real sleepy right around now.
I mean, it would only be 9 o'clock. What time do you normally go to bed?
Well, I normally go to bed around like 11 or midnight, but it's just the hours being off is just kind of throwing everything in a disarray.
Yeah. Yeah, I have not been sleeping well for a week or two now.
Maybe more. Is it just the weather, or?
Yeah, I think as it warmed up, maybe I just started sleeping worse and just, I don't know, just waking up really dried out. Just feeling like shit. So ready for E3.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Just going in.
Yeah.
Feeling the way that you're supposed to feel at E3.
I gotta get back to Namco about something. Just remembered. They're like, hey, do you want to come and see us? I'm like, I need to write back and say, we already are.
Yeah. That's...
It makes me wonder how other, like, do other outlets, do you think they book appointments and put people on the appointments immediately? Because for as long as I've been going to E3 and booking it for, like, a staff or anything like that,
Yeah. Like,
we have never put names on it until the very end, and companies have always been like, yeah, but who's going? Or they just put my name, or whoever booked the appointment on it when it's never that person, and then get all weirded out when it's like, oh, it's not the person that said it was going to be. It's like, no shit. Like, it just makes me wonder, like, are we the only people that do? Because that's how it was with GameSpot. Like,
far as I know, most outlets have a point person for this stuff. Like, they have a person who is in charge of booking these things,
right?
And that everything kind of filters through them. And so, I don't know if it's just that the other point people are very specifically like, okay, I'm going to put this person on this thing.
Yeah, maybe.
Like, when they're having those conversations, but, I've never been in the position of doing that.
Yeah, that's never seemed like the right way to go, because everything gets triple booked anyway, and you're going to have to change it at the last minute no matter what, so...
I mean, part of the reason we hold that off is so we can sit down and just, like, divvy that stuff out, and then, you know, when we realize that there are holes in some of our schedules, we can take some of those last-minute things.
Right. Yeah, it's just the way it happens like that every year of people that just don't seem to understand that, like, no, you booked an appointment with us, we will send the appropriate people to it.
Yeah.
You do not need to contact me separately about an appointment. It's just always very strange.
Yeah, I think it stems probably more from just... people in PR have a very strong need to know exactly what is going on in all cases. And just at some point, none of them ever quite figure out that, like, well, you're not going to know every single detail of who's going to show up at these things.
Yeah.
But they still think they need to.
Yeah, like, I was booking something that I'm not going to, and, like, they were trying to get my phone number. I was just like, I'm just going to not respond to that part of the email, I guess. move on from there. I don't want most video game publishers to have my cell phone number.
Yeah.
Like, I already don't have a phone at my desk. It's great.
I just don't want people to call me, like, ever.
Yeah, right?
Like, who uses the phone?
Right. And we're past that. Like, if you're driving a car, that's a good time to be on the phone.
Yeah. Just everything in text now.
Socks on, man. Filthing up those shoes. I don't trust people that don't wear socks.
Yeah, I consider socks kind of a vital thing. Not just from like a fashion perspective, but just like a living right perspective.
Yeah. Like, anytime, like, I'm just, like, being real lazy, like, I'm just going to throw on shoes so I can take out the garbage, or throw on shoes so I can drive somewhere real quick and buy something and come right back. Like, I feel okay, but then I take the shoes off, and the soles come with them, and, like, it's just, I feel like I'm destroying the shoes.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't like wearing sandals unless I'm at the fucking beach. Like, that's the only context in which I will do that.
Yeah, that's basically not an option. I got some slippers that I might wear if I'm just, like, hanging out around the house.
Right.
I don't even own a pair of sandals.
I own one.
I might still have a pair. I had a pair that I think we might have thrown out, but maybe I kept them the last minute. I don't remember.
Well, you're certainly not getting a lot of use out of them.
Gonna get big into Crocs. That's my plan.
Ah, the good shoes.
Yeah. Dude, that motorcycle's listening to Anderson Cooper at full volume.
Fucking man. Rebel, man.
Blast this shit. Fuck does A. Coop have to say? Oh, we're doomed? Great.
Aw, oh, shit, man. Situation room's up next. This is my shit.
Yo, Wolf. Yo, Wolf. Wolf Blitz don't give two shits, you know what I'm saying?
I don't think he would remember two shits to give to begin with.
What are you trying to say about...
Wolf Blitzer is a dum-dum.
What?
He's a very stupid man.
That guy's in the situation room. What if there's a situation? We can't have idiots in the situation room.
I'm sorry to say it.
Wolf Blitzer's a busy man. He's got a lot on his plate, okay? You gotta cut him some slack, man.
Look, he has the best name. I'm not disparaging the name. But there is a great deal of empty space where a man's brain should go.
Are you saying that he once had one and now just is not with it the way he used to be, or that he never had it?
Saying he never had it.
Okay.
Not so long as I have been aware of him and his existence, has that dude ever had it.
All right. Because I thought maybe you were going to try to imply that he smoked it away.
No.
Perhaps the fame of being on television for as long as he has went to his head, and he acquired a nice, healthy cocaine habit.
No, that dude is a blank stare in a suit.
And started smoking a lot of rock cocaine.
No, that's not what I'm implying.
Okay.
You gonna watch Takeover tonight?
I started watching a little bit of it while we were still at the office. I don't know. I'll probably watch it at some point. Maybe not tonight. But.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm just gonna have dinner with my mom, then come back, watch that, and go to sleep. I like watching those specials after the fact because I can fast forward through all the weird transitional bullshit in between.
Mm. Yeah, man. Fuck yeah. What the fuck is happening in this city?
Some kind of... They're culture jamming, man.
Who would possibly want to see, witness the performance that is happening over there?
Hippies?
You think?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, I guess. All right. I just feel like this city is a little bit better slash worse than that. Like, that should either be fucking some really fucking cool band... Or Matchbox 20. And a bunch of fucking dudes in backwards baseball caps.
That, Blues Traveler or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, like Blues Traveler. And some guys who just like, yeah, man, I'm fucking spent my day crushing some code, bruh.
You're not wrong.
I'm a 10X engineer, dog. Like those fucking dudes should be like watching a fucking Matchbox 20 concert in front of City Hall. That's what I think. That's San Francisco to me. But then there are pockets of it where you're like, oh, actually, maybe there's some real fucking people left here.
Not many.
I'm certainly not one of them.
No. Yeah, this city, man, I don't know. I mean, look, you know, I grew up north of here or whatever, but I still had a certain fondness for what the city used to be at a point.
Yeah. It ain't that no more.
No. I was talking to... It was Jane Pinkert a while ago, and we were kind of lamenting the fact that, like, the rowdy, weird San Francisco of old had kind of disappeared, and a lot of the venues that were around during that time are gone, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Slim's is still here, and Bottom of the Hill is still open, but that's kind of it.
Yeah. I think that was the Hemlock Tavern up here is still open.
That's good.
A couple of shows there. I don't know what they do these days, but... There were a lot of shows over, even as recent as like 2 years ago, at the, was it like the rickshaw stop, I think it's called.
Yeah, I remember that place.
That seemed like cool shows that I wouldn't mind seeing. But I don't know, I have not heard of any of that lately.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess DNA Lounge is still open. I don't know if they're still running shows or not.
That is an ambulance behind us.
All right, then.
It turned.
Okay.
Crisis averted. Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure there are still, like, plenty of pockets of culture here and there, but I feel like all I ever see anymore is just, like, this huge influx of people that have zero fucking taste.
Yeah.
Not like I'm some fucking bastion of fucking taste or anything, but...
No, but I'd like to believe I still have the ability to recognize it in others, if not myself. There's just a fucking, I don't know, just like this vacuous quality.
It just feels like a city full of people that want to talk to you about what they saw on network television.
Yeah. It is a city populated primarily by people who write Game of Thrones recaps for a living.
Yeah, yes, also that.
Now listen, some of my best friends are Game of Thrones recappers, but still.
I don't know anyone that recaps Game of Thrones.
I know a surprising number of people who do.
That seems like a very New York media thing.
It's everywhere.
I guess so.
Yeah. If you own a website, you have at least two people writing Game of Thrones recaps at this point.
We don't, but there are certainly people in the CBS family who,
yes,
I believe, are devoted to Game of Thrones recaps in some,
yep,
form. I saw one episode of Game of Thrones.
Listen, I like that show a lot. It's fun. It's a good show. It's enjoyable.
Like hearing people discuss it, I'm like, okay, that doesn't interest me in at all, but it sounds like it is great at doing what it is trying
totally
to do.
Totally is, and I enjoy it a lot, and I have less than zero desire to get into discussions or read recaps or fucking dig into fan theories about anything happening on that show.
Yeah, I don't need to engage with the Game of Thrones brand in an official or unofficial capacity.
Nah.
But I don't know that there's much of anything that I would want to do that with on television or movies or anything.
Nah. Just not my scene.
What's the dumbest thing we could be recapping? Let's start recapping something that is... I bet people have even fucking done that, right? Someone has to be recapping, like, the first shit.
Oh, yeah.
A joke or something, right?
That's the thing.
We wouldn't even be first to that.
Even when they do it, it starts out maybe as a joke,
right,
but then eventually
and then
becomes...
suddenly they're like, no, you guys.
No, suddenly...
Real Housewives of fucking New Jersey is,
yeah,
totally worth watching.
Oh, yeah. No, that's a thing. There are extensive recaps of the various Bachelor and Bachelorettes.
They still make those?
Oh, yeah. There's one on now.
What?
I see people talking about it. I don't watch it, but people I know do, and that's distressing.
How do you know them? How do you find these people?
Yeah, you know, if you work in media long enough, eventually everything just turns into a recap.
Yeah.
Also, that person's license plate literally is just Aaliyah. What?
Maybe Aaliyah is driving this car next to us.
You cracked the conspiracy.
Yep. Here, take a look. Is it Aaliyah?
No, it's a dude. Is that dude stole Leah's car.
Fuck, man. It's fucked up. Do you still keep up at all with, like, film criticism in any way?
Or here and there. That stuff? There's like, a few critics I still like. Not a lot, but...
I just feel like... Well, I don't know. I guess, like, I'm paying less attention to it than ever, obviously. But, like, I feel like the only movie coverage I see now are people complaining about comic book movies.
That's a big part of it. That is a big part of it.
Seems like it's right up there with Game of Thrones recaps. Is like, here are 10 reasons why we fucking think this movie's bullshit.
Yeah, it's that. It's the comic book stuff. It's the Star Wars stuff. That kind of shit. That seems to be taking up a lot of the conversation. There are some, like, good, genuine film critics out there. Very few of them write for newspapers anymore. It's,
well,
like,
sure,
people
yeah.
who, you know, if maybe, like, there's a guy at Vanity Fair that I like a lot. But that's kind of it. As far, like, the rest of it's all, like, you know, online critic type people.
Yeah.
And a lot of them aren't even people that are, like, employed regularly. They're just people who write, you know, either Patreon or, like, some other, like, independent level stuff.
You're into single source, locally.
Yes, locally grown, sourced film criticism.
Film criticism.
Farm to table.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, the conversation around movies is largely dominated by the superhero blockbuster stuff for the most part.
Yeah, I feel it's the level of conversation that I feel like happens around most, like, nerd culture topics,
mm-hmm.
if you want to call them that.
It's just as good a term as any.
Yeah, it just all just seems like the most brain dead shit.
Yeah, it's
or just like the most fucking, like, nakedly cash grabby, like, please keep this site afloat type shit.
Yeah,
from Game of Thrones recaps to fucking. Here's my video why I didn't like the Batman and the Superman fighting movie.
Yeah, here's a long, detailed description of the latest young adult fiction-turned-movie franchise.
Yeah.
And where we think things are going or what have you. Yeah, it's, I don't know. Like, I'm not going to stand here and pretend that, you know, film writing was ever anything but that kind of attention-grabby stuff. I mean, you know, the criticism is different than, like, the news and
media coverage
type shit, but... You know, like, Variety and Hollywood Reporter have been at the forefront of, you know, writing very, like, you know, sensationalist shit about things going on in the movie industry for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But that stuff eventually got transferred into the mainstream in a weird way, and then, you know, blogging and all that other stuff kind of democratized that stuff, and now everyone, like you said, it's just everyone talking about the same shit, because there's, like, 5 or 6 pillars that everyone knows will get people to look at their stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I just feel like, you know, if you were fucking running one of those sites last year, you were covering Game of Thrones recaps, superhero movies, and Destiny.
Yep.
And everyone was fine.
It's a lot of stuff that caters to obsessiveness in a possibly dangerous kind of way.
Sure.
You know, and that it's all a little thoughtless, and it's all just kind of designed to rile up a base to get discussion going so that you can get those likes and those subscribes.
What do you think?
Yeah. Tell us what you think.
Tell us what you think. Why don't you comment below? Yeah, I don't know. I don't mind, like, the idea of, like, hey, this piece of content is designed to foster some additional discussion below. Like, that's not the worst thing in the world.
No, but it's like when it's done in a very nakedly sort of opportunistic way, that's when it kind of bugs me.
Or when it's like, here's something we're writing that says absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
What do you think? You know, like...
Like, if you don't actually have something to contribute to the quote-unquote discourse, like, you don't need to write that thing to begin with. The discussion will formulate on its own somewhere. You do not need to try and fucking... create incantations to draw it in your direction. I don't know, man. I am trying my best not to get into some sort of cranky, like, well, media was better back when, because it wasn't. It was just different.
It was wasn't loud. It was broken in different ways.
Yeah.
You know, and it was a lot smaller, so
yeah,
like the business requirements of it were very different. For me, the shifts that I look at and go like, this is now worse, are the things when you've got people reporting on things and then people chiding the reporter for ruining the poor company's well-laid marketing plan.
God.
Like, oh, why would you spoil that for us?
First of all, you don't know what a spoiler is. Stop using that term forever. Second of all, what do you think we're here to do? What do you think we're here for? What do you think a reporter is supposed to do?
Please just be the mouthpiece for this machine.
You don't need a reporter for that.
Right.
That's why publishers are fucking hiring in-house media.
Yeah.
That if you want that mouthpiece shit, go read the Ubi blog.
Yeah.
You know, that's fine if that's what you want.
Totally,
but
yeah,
if you just, if you want actual, like, you know, theoretically independent media, then they're gonna do things without just adhering to
like this fucking wants. UFC thing.
Yeah.
You know, like,
well, that's
like,
that's a case.
Fucking amazing case of,
yeah,
like, that guy seems like a fuck up.
Yep.
And maybe a dirtbag, but
and
also
he actually straight up said, yo, I kinda got paid to do some of this by the UFC.
Right. Yeah. Like, what? Like, that whole, I mean, like, hey, surprise, surprise, Dana White might be kind of a fucking dirtbag.
Weird.
Who could have fucking seen it coming?
Yeah, between that and, like, Schreier getting all that shit when he broke the No Man's Sky delay.
That's just a special fucking brand of fucking dumb.
Yeah, like, come on. I saw some really amazing conspiracy theorizing of, like, well, what if the delay wasn't originally going to be that bad, but when they broke the story, like, that fucked up things for Sony, so they had to delay it more.
Like, that's not how anything works, ever.
Like, yeah, no, you literally just don't understand the structure of events, period. Like, how, like, time moves. Like, none of this.
Yeah.
None of this.
Yes, yeah, the... And, you know, whatever, people are always, you know, of course, like, free to fucking chime in with their opinion on things. It's just when people try to present things like that, where,
yeah,
they're like, well, this is clearly how it happened. It's like, no, you don't. You understand 0% of how adult humans act in the workplace,
mm-hmm,
and fucking how decisions get made at a corporate level. Like, just common, common fucking sense has escaped so many people.
It has become increasingly uncommon.
It's fucking disturbing. Like, that, like, that's the stuff that really bums me out. Is like, you used to be able to, you know, you used to be able to have a conversation with people and just be very, like, real about it and go like, well, here's how things are. And you know, you can either trust me or not, but I've been doing this for some chunk of time and I'm telling you this is how it is.
Yeah.
And also, I, you know, I'm not really going to, like, dig into it because that's a 10-hour conversation that goes back to the Super Nintendo days.
Yeah.
But you've got people that are just like, no, I think it's more like this. Like, all right, okay, that's your...
No, go on fucking thinking that, then.
Please spend 10 more pages on your weird message board fucking complaining about this stuff. Like, Reddit just being this, like, endless fucking cesspool of just circling fucking, like, people riling each other up and then staying riled up,
yeah,
as a community.
Yes.
Like, that's their default mode of, like, oh yeah, we're woke, all right. Woke to these No Man's Sky delays. Like, let's fucking stop these. Like, what the fuck? It's, yeah, so much of that stuff about more than just No Man's Sky, just more than, like, yeah, it's fucking nuts. It's nuts. It's depressing.
Yeah.
Like, in a, like, societal way of, like, how did we get here as a people?
I think the reality is we were always there. It's simply that the online communities, social media, whatever, you know, like, it's allowed people access to each other's various fucking damaged psyches in ways that we never got before.
Yeah.
And they can just continue to encourage each other to be more and more damaged in that way.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, we have all
and more segregated in a way, too. Of like, yeah. We're going to be this fucking cloister of people off in this corner being fucking super nuts. And anyone who says otherwise is in on it. I'm like, what? In on what? What the fuck? Like, I get why people want to jump to the worst possible conclusion in a lot of cases, but so many things are just... If you start with the basis of people are generally okay, mm-hmm. and they are going to try to do right by the thing they are trying to do.
Yeah.
And not, you know, nakedly fuck people over in many cases.
And, yeah.
Then, you know, then that heads off the whole notion of something like saying that reporting on a delay somehow made the delay worse. Like, walk backwards, you know, just all it would take is to just walk backwards through that openly and honestly to go like, oh, well, then, you know, there's really...
No, something...
I mean, yeah, you could connect those dots, but that would be preposterous.
Yes.
And no one does that anymore. I don't know. Or
it's a lot easier... No one's
doing that on message boards, I guess. I don't know.
It is a lot easier to paint targets on things that bring you disappointment than actually work through that disappointment yourself.
I guess. Like, maybe don't get fucking so attached to the release date of a video game that it causes that response in you. Like, that should be the, like, the warning
or
sign.
Or any piece
the,
of media.
Or anything,
in general.
Yeah, no, not, yeah, yeah, not just video games, obviously, yeah. Like, if you see yourself in those reactions, like, you know, hopefully one's default mode would be to sit back and go, what? Okay. What am I actually... I should probably... I'm gonna go outside for a sec here. Just really, really think this through.
Pull off some steam a little bit. Entitlement gets thrown around a lot, and I don't always think it gets applied correctly.
No,
I feel like the word for it is attachment.
Yeah,
like unhealthy attachment.
Well, it's like there was that thing going around, people saying like, you know, oh, fandom is broken. It's like, yeah, but not like even that article was not. Didn't I don't think got it quite right.
No, it definitely did not. Like there are aspects of that argument that I think are fair. But I also think that, like...
They're generalizing and lumping too many people in.
Yeah.
There are good people that like things.
Yes.
And like to talk about the things they like on the internet. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Inherently, you know.
But there is an encouragement to develop unhealthy attachments to these kinds of things.
And the people putting those things out are only encouraging that stuff.
Absolutely.
Further.
Because they need people to buy those things. Yeah. And
evangelize those things to others and fucking... Hey, if we get 10,000 retweets, we're going to unlock another piece of fucking concept art for you. Well, I look at that and think, anyone who would want that is a fool.
Yeah.
And then it happens, and you're like, well,
all right.
Monetize those teens. Everyone loves the brands now.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't need the government to classify corporations as people, because now people are just doing that.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this poor company had its marketing plan spoiled. They were right to DMCA your Twitter account.
I've worked in PR. I've had PR and marketing plans spoiled and broken and whatever. And you know what happens? You formulate a new one and you move the fuck on.
Yeah, right?
Like, that's
who
it.
Who the fuck has time to fucking sit there and go like, well, we gotta fucking get a lid on this. Like, no, dumbass. You've got people talking about the thing that you're trying to sell. That's the best case scenario.
Yep.
Well, no, we've got deals in place to... Yeah, I mean, that's where it gets fucked up. It's like, oh, we've got a deal to exclusively reveal this information with someone else, and we don't want to jeopardize that. Blah, blah, blah. Like, we've got a media buy behind this, so we need to put it here. Like, no.
Yeah.
Maybe don't do that in the first place, and It's been one of the weird and kind of wonderful things about smaller games and smaller game companies,
mm-hmm.
is that they are taking this very honest, a very open approach to what they do.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We can't presume honesty across the board.
Like, I'm sure some of it is probably very calculated. But, like, people have access to those people in a way they didn't have it before.
Oh, yeah.
And seeing those people be like, oh, here's the game we're making. We're pretty excited about it.
And, like, being out there about the hustle. Yeah. And the hustle that they are working to make sure that that thing, one, is, you know, something people want. And two, like, how they're getting it in front of people.
Yeah.
All that kind of stuff. Like,
I think that's interesting, you know. And then sometimes you still end up with shit like that Mighty No. 9 trailer.
Yeah, you do. God, what a thing that was.
Like, already that game looking pretty bad from what they have shown of it, and seeing it like at E3 or, you know, like wherever I saw it last year. I'm like, alright. Seems like you're sort of making that thing.
If nothing else, that game should bear out to be a fascinating cautionary tale about where crowdfunding can go very wrong.
If I can, any capacity.
There's no.
No, I definitely think not.
Death Metal says, on the other hand, Bloodstained is getting a playable demo next week.
Yeah.
That's great. That thing sounds like it's been coming along in a way that is satisfactory to people who have backed it.
I hope it's good.
Yeah, me too.
I hope Mighty No. 9 is good. You know, like, it's,
I just don't have hope for it.
I don't have any single thing I've seen about it.
Yeah.
But sure, by all means. It'd be great if that was just some fantastic...
I fucking love Mega Man.
Yeah.
Make something like that. Cool.
And hopefully Bloodstained is good. I would always be interested in more games like that.
Yeah.
Even though they do make quite a bit more of them these days.
They do, but, you know, there's something to be said for having a person generally responsible for the proliferation of that kind of game involved.
Yeah. That's a feel-good story if that game comes out and he gets it right and people love it.
Yep.
You know? That's like, all right, man. It's fucking the company that everyone hates now, and it's safe to hate them because they don't even make video games anymore, so there's no discussion, there's no debate.
Yeah. Whatever, man. We were hating Konami before it was cool.
Man, I've been hating Konami for decades. Except in limited.
Very limited.
Limited capacities with limited numbers of games. Konami's been great at fucking up video games for a long time. That would be a great story. God, Konami's certainly not going to make another one of these. Even when they were making games, they fucking took this franchise out of this man's hands and gave it to somebody else, despite people generally liking exactly what that dude was making.
Yep. That was also one of the best Kickstarter announcement videos I think there has been.
It's just him with a whip?
It was him with the whip. There's that part where he fucking turns into bats.
Okay. I might not have seen that.
That was good. That was a good video.
I just kind of don't really watch a lot of Kickstarter videos.
Nor should you. Most of them are useless.
Yeah. Saw it, but Injustice 2 did not get announced for the PC.
Can't imagine why that would be.
Yeah. I wonder if Warner is just going to kind of step away from the PC for a while.
Yeah, it wouldn't be the worst move.
If they could even afford to. Or if they need to just get it right as soon as they possibly can, because they need to sell on all platforms to... Like, looking at, like, Steam Spy sales for that last Mortal Kombat, it seems like 500,000 people bought that game there.
Yeah.
And then didn't get the DLC and basically stopped getting support at some point. It's kind of fucked up.
Yeah, I think it would definitely benefit them to take a breather and then come back when they are confident they have a PC game that people will not be pissed off about.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe it's the case where they just like, hey, we're going to make sure we get Injustice right on consoles, and then they're going to do a reverse XCOM 2.
Yeah, that sure did get announced not that long after the PC version came out.
Yeah, a couple months there, I guess.
Yeah, a few. It was February, I guess, it came, so.
Right, yeah. And I thought it seems like way longer than that.
January and February of this year feels strangely distant.
Yeah.
Like, even more so than last year did. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it makes total sense for them to do that. I wonder if that game actually sold okay on PC, or if this was very much like a "fuck, we need this game to make money" move.
Right. Well, I mean, if putting it out on consoles, judging by how well the last game did, is not a way to make money. Like, the console versions of that last XCOM game did not sell for shit, which is why when they announced it as PC only, it was this kind of twofold thing of like, oh. This twofold thing of like, well, we want to really get the control. We're going to have mods. And then the second part of that was like, also like 9 people bought it on Xbox 360. So
yeah, I wonder if, you know, now the notion that game is pretty good is seated in the community. Like, maybe they think that console players might be a little more apt to pick it up now.
I guess. I don't know. I feel like there was a lot more positivity around the first game.
There was. I mean, granted, so, the first one didn't have the performance issues that this one did.
Yeah, so I look at it in that context of like, all right, doesn't perform well on a PC. I mean, I guess they could do a lot of optimization work, but eventually lead into a console version that way, but fix something small once, but that game really bummed me out.
Yeah, I'm going to play it eventually. I might actually play the console version. I don't know. I just knew that before I upgraded my video card, I knew that that game would not fucking run on what I had.
Yep.
And now that thing's coming in September, I might just wait and see how it is. And if it's bad, then I'll just grab the PC version finally. By then, it should be like, what, $40 probably?
Yeah, probably. Just seems so weird.
Yeah, I don't really know what to make of them these days.
Yeah, they got the Firaxis stuff, but then it's like they pushed so hard into Evolve, and
that
got
nothing
out of it. You know?
Nothing.
And like Battleborn has the same feel to it of like, oh yeah, we're putting out this big multiplayer thing. Look out, esports. 2K's coming. No. This isn't going to do it either.
And it's like, you know, they have their reliable things. Like, the GTA thing will continue to make them money in perpetuity.
Oh, yeah. I don't even mean Take-Two as a whole. I mean specifically, like, 2K. Like
the sports stuff, right. You know, will reliably do well for them.
Do they just do basketball now?
It's just basketball and wrestling. That's
okay.
It.
Yeah.
They
dropped out of hockey. They stopped making baseball, obviously.
Yeah, there was some talk that they might try and get back into one of those sports at some point, but they did NHL, but it was on mobile.
Right.
It doesn't sound like they have any real strong desire to get back into the console market for that. And with EA's NHL games generally being good, I can kind of see why they don't feel like they need to slide in there. But, yeah, like, you know, the other stuff they've got this year, it's like Mafia 3, which admittedly looks better than other Mafia games, so I can kind of see why they're pushing that.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Firaxis stuff.
Right.
I really want to know what's going to happen with Gearbox long-term here. Because, I don't know, by every indication I've heard, that was not a cheap game for them to develop.
I bet.
They dumped a lot into that game, and, you know, like, surely there's someone there working on whatever the next Borderlands thing is, but I wonder if that's going to come quick enough.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, like, Borderlands 1 and 2 sold very, very, very well.
Yeah.
So, I know they probably did quite well off of those games.
But the question
is... But then they've had, like, Aliens. And,
yeah.
You know,
and also, how much of that money did they dump into Battleborn?
Right. And then, you know, all the money they spent along the way on, like, acquiring the, like, Homefront IP.
Yeah.
And putting those out.
Or the Homeworld.
Or Homeworld, yeah. Sorry. Yeah, yeah. Homefront, yeah.
The Homefront IP sold for nothing.
Yeah, it was $9.
Yeah.
Gearbox actually probably should have paid $10 to get it instead, because they probably would have made a better game. You know, at some point they fucking did Duke Nukem, right? I mean, Gearbox is just such a mixed...
They made a lot of weird bets.
Yeah. That some of them are like these Hearts and Minds bets that I can't hate on. Just go like, yeah, man, fucking buy the rights to Duke Nukem, dude.
Sure.
Fucking man. Yeah, you're a magician, man. Do it. And then, you know, Homeworld people have wanted that thing for so, so long. And it's cool that someone was able to try to bring it
badly, but I don't think they made much of a splash either.
Yeah, yeah. It definitely, you know, it seemed like there was more excitement around the IP just being mentioned as opposed to those games actually shipping. So I don't know, like the remaster, that whatever that other thing was, Ruins of Kunark. Am I
it sounds
that up?
Close enough.
I don't know. But yeah, Battleborn.
Yeah, Battleborn.
Lead writer of that game left the company.
Before it came out, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they actually just kind of announced... Like, I saw news stories, like, last week. Or like, Elite Rider is tiny.
As far as I know, everyone who was in was gone.
Isn't Mikey still there?
Okay, Mikey's still there. You're right, yeah. But a lot of the people that, like, came in
right
around, yeah, like, Borderlands 2 and stuff, like, all those people are gone, as far as I know.
Well, I think the writing that I did see in Battleborn was pretty bad, and the writing in those latter-day Borderlands games was kind of an atrocity, so... A lot of that was attached to some of those other people that are gone, so...
Yeah.
I generally thought Borderlands 1 had it okay, totally. You know, like, it wasn't too much of... Didn't lean too much into kind of modern internet-ish humor. It didn't fall back onto too much corny shit. Like, it had, like, likable characters. Like, I think Borderlands 1 was a good midpoint, you know?
Yeah, I don't think 2's as bad as some people make it out to be, but I totally understand where...
Like, yeah, I mean, the bad just... points of 2. But also, like, the story beats of 2, like, the happenings of, like, the characters and the nature of the world and stuff,
I think,
are not great.
Now, Tales from the Borderlands, that was pretty solid.
Yeah, my understanding is that is good.
There was some good-ass writing in that.
I don't ever want to play that, because I just don't want to play any of the Telltale games anymore.
That's fair. It's the only one that's caught my attention at all recently.
Yeah.
I'm still, like, one episode from finishing it, but I like that a good bit.
Yeah. I think they've got it in them to make Borderlands 3, like, actually great.
Yeah.
But I think the nature of that game and the scope of that game has to change and get so much bigger. Just to compete with, like, the Divisions and the Destinies of the world that, like, it's now a more difficult game to make.
Yeah.
So like whatever their financial situation is these days, I think weighs even more heavily due to that.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't think the good version of Borderlands 3 is a game you can make under duress.
No.
Like, if Battleborn flops as hard as it seems like it is currently in the process of, and if 2K gets in any way antsy, then that is a game that might have to come a lot quicker than they want it to.
And the thing is, though, is 2K doesn't own Gearbox, so... They still call enough of their own shots with that stuff that I think they could... If they told 2K... we're going to have a game for you in 3 years, I think more or less all 2K can do is go like, oh, okay.
As long as it's the thing they know will be at least a financial hit.
Right. I think that Borderlands, the pre-sequel thing, is the thing you look at and go like, well, here's what happens when you let someone else make this game.
Yeah.
And make it in a hurry. And make a lot of really questionable choices. And, you know, like the writing, I think, came out of the core Gearbox, if I had to guess. I don't know. I don't know what the split was, but, like, that pre-sequel game did not sell to nearly the same degree as the other games in the series did.
And admittedly, like, the response to that thing coming in was pretty muted because everyone knew, one, it wasn't Gearbox, and two, it just never really looked like it had much to offer.
Yeah. Well, they tried to, I don't know, it felt like they were not quite deceptive, but they were definitely not presenting up front, like, who wrote the game and who made it and stuff like that. Like, the 2K Australia stuff was kind of... obviously, it was like, you saw it when you booted up the game.
Right.
But it was, like, pre-release, it seems like they weren't necessarily...
It was out there, they weren't very loud about it.
Like, there was definitely an element of, like, Gearbox is still working on this game. Like, we are getting assistance from another studio. But, like, there was, I think, to sell the game, they were like, this is the same as the other Borderlands.
Yeah.
We just got some help from the Australians. Remember the Bureau?
I do. That game had some ideas in it. That were okay.
The game really should have been cool.
It should have been great. It was okay.
I think that game seems like the type of game that just destroyed lives of the people making it.
Yeah. That's the impression I've gotten as well. There was half a really good game in that.
Yeah.
And I like the idea of branching XCOM out into other stuff, too. Even if the Bureau didn't work, like, they should be looking for more avenues to turn that thing into other stuff.
Yeah.
So why the fuck not?
Right. You know, I actually think it would be cool if they fucking kind of went some of the other way with that, too. And just, like, branch Borderlands out in a more interesting way of, like, oh, hey, we made a Borderlands tactics game.
Sure.
Hey, Firaxis is making a Borderlands.
I mean, they made it into a compelling adventure game, for God's sake, so why not?
Right. Like an isometric fucking turn-based tactics game set in the Borderlands universe, I think could absolutely work.
Yeah.
And Battleborn launched branched out, you know? They had the idle game, the Tapper,
right,
the same day, so...
I've completely forgotten about that.
Battleborn Tap, man. It's the best Battleborn game they've ever released.
It's funny because it's true. Probably.
It's not a great tap.
All right.
That was actually maybe the sad part.
Oh.
I played it.
How do you make a bad one of those? Well, I guess I know how you make a bad one of those, but like it seems like it would be harder to make a bad one of those.
It's very shallow. And very derivative of... Like, you can tell that the team that developed it, like, looked at some Tap Titans... and a few other things to
kind
of, you know, draw inspiration for maybe, like, some of their UI and presentation and stuff. But they just don't do it as well.
Yeah.
And there was no, like, lasting benefit to continuing to play the game. It was just like, hey, link up your fucking Gearbox Shift account and we'll give you one skin. Done. All right. Uninstall this thing.
Has anyone actually checked in on Evolve recently? Like, is anyone playing that thing now?
One of the Discord communities that I keep some occasional tabs on does some fairly deep investigation into the player base of Evolve.
Okay.
And it will drop down on Steam under 100. I think last night I saw 33 people playing it. And granted, that was like 11 o'clock at night on a fucking Tuesday or something. But
in a season when there are multiple multiplayer online shooters right now that people are into. Yeah.
And you go, and that's only PC, obviously. You can't really pull console numbers the same way.
Yeah.
But you go look at Twitch, and just in terms of the number of streams running and stuff like that. There was one stream running that I was looking at last night, day before, something like that. It was just like someone sitting there waiting for a match to happen. Like, they were just at the player matching screen, just hoping a game would start.
God.
They were very into Evolve in 2K. They were very big on that game, and, like, they talked a lot about it as a dev. It's definitely a franchise.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
You know, even if they don't hit it out of the park right off the bat, like, you know, absolutely, we're gonna, you know, Evolve is a multi-game, you know.
Well, my understanding was they did not pay a great deal for that in the THQ fire sale.
Right.
That was a THQ thing. I forgot. Yeah.
That was a fucking THQ game.
Yeah, and Turtle Rock
probably got it for $9.
I think, I want to say it was one of the cheaper things that was bought in that wasn't, didn't end up being like one of those like Nordic Games things.
Right.
That's the thing, is that I bet their investment was probably 1 year of development, maybe two.
Right.
And a lot of marketing, and that's kind of it. And, like, you know, not having to launch that thing from the get-go probably helped their opinion or their willingness to kind of get behind it.
Right.
That said, I don't know if
I wonder if they made their money back. I wonder if they even made their money back. That game, like, probably launched decently. Like, there was definitely a lot of interest around it. Like, they ran those betas, and people, I feel like...
There was a hot month where people were into that game, I feel like.
I was into that game... The first two times I played it, the first two rounds I played.
Yeah, the first time I got in the beta.
This seems okay.
Yeah, it seemed neat.
And then the first time I played it at home, like, when they released a beta and played with people, just, I was like, oh, this isn't going to work at all.
Yeah.
Like, this thing is not, this game has zero chance of longevity. And, you know, other people are like, oh, no, man, it's going to be huge. Esports. Like, no, it's fucking, all right, good, go with God. We'll see who is right on that one. It was me. It was me. I was right.
All along.
Anyway, yeah. They're keeping track of those Evolve numbers in the context of also keeping track of Battleborn numbers.
Mm.
Which these days are...
Not good. Last I saw.
Around 2,000 active players under that at night, you know. It'll get around 1,000 and stuff like that.
I saw a graph chart that was like, you know... In general, when games go on sale, you see spikes, airbase or whatever, and when Battleborn went to $40, it didn't all. Like, it was the exact same.
I don't think the PC version went on sale.
It did. Failed the day before.
The day before Overwatch came out?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Saw Amazon
sale. They did a brief Steam sale thing, and they did apparently move the needle not a lick.
Yeah, that's not surprising. I feel for the people that spent a good long... People are probably very...
There's no joy in it, not in dollars. It's just not good.
It's a bummer. But at the same time, man, that game is not good.
Yeah.
At some level, hitting alongside a game... Like, you don't need a game like Overwatch out there to say, hey, Battleborn, you should be...
Like, that game doesn't automatically become good if Overwatch doesn't exist.
Yeah. I wonder when, or if they knew. Actually, maybe it's an X on that
one. Yeah, I don't know.
If there was a moment where they're like, we have been in this for over a year, and we are starting to take shape, and do on bid.
Yeah, it's hard to know. 2K obviously gave them a lot of support for that thing.
I mean, it's so Gearbox, Gearbox has had, you know, like, if they make another Borderlands that has esports hooks in it, then you're making money forever. So you definitely give them
benefit of the
enough rope.
Yeah.
But fuck, man.
Here.
All right. We're here.
We'll see y'all tomorrow.
We'll be back out in the morning.
Bye, everyone.